All right, we're starting here at the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, about 10 lines down. The Gemara is continuing, or asking a question on the conclusion of the Gemara from yesterday, which is what the Gemara concluded, where he prepays the Zonah. What is the status of that animal? Is it classified as an etnan or not? So the Gemara concluded that in this case, the situation was, this animal should be with you until the time that we use your services. But if you need it before that point in time, you can be koneit, and it'll be yours immediately. So that right of her to exercise and use it before that point in time means that it was a matana ba'alma, it's not classified as an etnan. On that, Rav Oshia, katma b'kdishato mahu. Over here, where she didn't use it yet, meaning had she gone and been brought it as a korban in the Mikdash, then there wouldn't be any question at hand, because she already used it. He said, if you need it, it'll be yours from now. And then first she was already koneit before the performance of the services of the bia. So there it's clearly not etnan. But over here, she did not yet use the animal. She was only simply makdishit. And Rabbi Yoshi says, what do we say? Kevin damar amar amirato de gvak misirato de hejot. Since we say that when one gives in words to Ekdesh, it's the equivalent of giving with a kinyan to another individual. So therefore, it's command akriv dam. It's as if she's already been makriv the animal. It's already as if it's done already. And if that's the case, then she should have been koneh the animal me'achshav. She's koneh me'achshav, it was hers, and it wouldn't have a classification of etnan. Or, doma hashta mi'ha koi. Maybe now the animal's still around. And when she performs the services in the biyah, the animal's still around. Yes, she may have makdishit to Hekdesh, but she wasn't yet makrivit. And since the animal's still around, it'll be considered an etnan. So Mar says, v'tifshol t'mit Rabbi Eliezer. Well, let's at least try to answer this from the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Dama Rabbi Eliezer, k'shikodma v'hikrivto. So it sounds like from him, from Rabbi Eliezer, that says that she went ahead and was makrivit before the performance of the biyah. What does that mean, v'kadma v'hikriveto? So it sounds like davka hikriveto. That's only if she was makriv. She actually bought the animals a korban. Avahikdishato, lo. But if she simply was makdish, animal would be enough. So that's what, no, the Gemara says, no, that's exactly what Rav Hoshia's question is. Rav Hoshia's question is, to Rabbi Eliezer, gufei kami baile. Rabbi Eliezer's position he's trying to understand. My, what's his position? Mipsha pshitale the Rabbi Eliezer da krivato davka v'ektishato lo. Is Rabbi Eliezer's position only when she's makrivit, is it not a problem of etnan? But if she was makdishit, it is. Da'ita bishad biya, because the animal's still around at the time she performs the services. Or dilma akrivato pshitale. Or maybe ikrivato is what he was simple. That's why he said ikrivato, because he knows there for sure that it'll be mutar. Ikdishato misveikale. He's unsure about ikdishato, so he didn't make that as the answer. But he's also uncertain. He has the same question, maybe that Rav Oshia has. The Gemara leaves as a teiko. We don't know what the answer is in this, in case. So now the Gemara continues with the Braita. The Braita brought two cases down. One was Natan Allah Velo Ba'aleha, or Ba'aleha Lo Natan La. And then the Gemara mended that Braita to read Natan La V'achakach Ba'aleha. If he gave it to her first and then had Bia with her, then that is okay. And we just dealt with that case over here. But then there's the second case in the Braita based on the amended version, which is Oh Ba'aleha V'achakach Natan La. He had Bia with her and then he gave it afterwards. So in that case, Etnana Mutar. The Braita says Etnana is Mutar. So the Gemara wants to understand that second case where she performs the services for him, and then he pays her for those services. Isn't that a classic case of etnan? V'erminu, ba'aleh, v'achakach natan la, if she provided the services, and then he pays her, afil mi'akan ad shlosh shanim, even if he doesn't pay her for the next 3 years, etnan asur. Whenever he does pay her for the services, that's considered etnan and it's asur. So why does our braita suggest over here that if he gave it after the services were provided, it's fine? So amar avnachum yitzok, amar v'chezo lo kasher, ad amar leit badali b'telezeh, ad amar leit badali b'telez tam. Because it says, no, it makes a difference how she phrases the way the compensation is going to come about. If she says, well, for these services that I'm providing, you are going to give me this particular teleh, then over there, it's etnan asura. Whenever he gives it to her, it's asura, because that teleh was designated as the compensation. On the other hand, if she just says, hitbali, all right, I'll have the services, betleh stam, and it'll be for any teleh that I give you later on, so then that won't be a problem, etnan, because he didn't specify what the payment is. Gemara says, even if he says, Why is that classified as being a problem of etnan? At the time that he performs the biyah, she still doesn't have the animal. And why is lezeh different than tle'estam? Ha-mechusar meshicha. That she's missing meshicha. She hasn't made a kinyan on the animal yet. If she has yet to make a kinyan on the animal, then why is it problematic? When it says, bezona without kochavim to lokanya b'meshicha. Talking about a non-Jewish zona who doesn't have a kinyan meshicha, at least according to B'Shiva and Lokish in the Gemara of Metzia, a non-Jew cannot use meshicha as the way to acquire something. And therefore, since she's lacking in meshicha here, if it was a Jewish zona, she was lacking in kinyan meshicha, then it wasn't hers at the time that she performed the services, and it wouldn't be a problem. But over here, it's an over kochavim, meshicha is not the way that she does it. She gets the kinyan because of the services she provided right away. Vid by Dema, the olam bezona Israelit, it's a Jewish zona. He already brought the tle into her chatzer. So since it's her chatzer, and he's designated it for her, then it's hers. Wait a minute, if it's already in her chatzer, then when he sleeps with her, and then gives it to her afterwards, hakanyala. What do you mean, gives it to her afterwards? She already has it. It's in her chatzera. She performed the services. It's hers now. Why does he have to give her anything? Now, the case here is when he made it as a designated collateral. Damarla, he says, I have until such and such a date to pay you the money. If not, mutav, and that's fine. Below, shakla b'yad ninach. If not, this tle that's sitting in your chatzera will be yours if I don't bring you the money. So at the moment that she has the biyah, that's not hers yet. Because until we determine that he hasn't paid the money, then only then do we know that it belongs to her. But once it does belong to her, then it comes back, l'mafreya, and it's hers from the time of the shad biyah, because it's me'achshav. From that moment, it will be hers. So that would be the problematic case of Ednan here. The problem case of Ednan is where she either is a zona ovedat kochavim, doesn't require meshicha, and therefore when he gives it over to her, it's hers right then and there, and that means that it's problematic as an Ednan. Or the other possibility, which is that it was a Jewish zona, it was in her chatzera, but she's not kona it right away because he had a condition there that he's allowed to pay her money. If he fails to pay her money, then retroactively it becomes hers. So in those two cases, that's the Braita speaking about. When he gives it afterwards, then it's an etnan. So either he gives it to the goya, who doesn't require meshicha, she was kona it from the services he provided, or it's Israelite, and she was in her chatzera, and he fails to bring cash, then it becomes hers. He gives it to her at that point, then it's a problem. But our case over here is a case where it doesn't have these conditions. And if it doesn't have these conditions, that's what the Mishnah Braita is talking about, where he gives it pays for afterwards. When he pays afterwards, that's not called etnan. Now, Meitiv Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet asks a question. Rav Sheshet's question is moving back on Rabbi Yanai. This is the position that Rabbi Yanai took, that you were allowed to yasfei peiri shvit maniyim, used to borrow the peirot shvit from the niyim and consume them, and then pay them back in the eighth year. And he said that that wasn't a problem of chalipin or chalipei shvit, and there wasn't a problem of demei shvit. So, Meitiv Rav Sheshet. Omer Adam lechamarav ulepoalav. Person can say to his workers or to his donkey drivers, take this money and eat. Your mizonot are on me. I'm obligated to do it. Here's your money. Go out and buy and eat what you want. Go out and drink with this money. He doesn't have to worry what they eat. When they go ahead and eat whatever food they eat, he doesn't have to worry about it. Lo mishum shvit, he doesn't have to worry about shvit. Lo mishum maaser, but lo mishum yayin nesach. Right, we'll deal with maaser and yayin nesach first. The problem of yayin nesach is if they purchase, non-Jews here go and purchase yayin nesach from another non-Jew, it's not that he's feeding them or giving them to drink yayin nesach. He gave them money. The fact that they chose to go and buy yayin nesach, that's their issue. Same thing with maaser. Now, maaser, you're not allowed to give, if these are Jews, you can't give maaser or something that's in musar to an ama aretz to eat it. So, over here again, the problem is not his, because he gave them money and they went and bought something that was in musar, or someone else gave them something that's in musar. He's not directing that. He didn't ask the person to give it to them, and he didn't tell them to go buy something that was in musar. So he's not involved. The question is, lo mishum shvi'it. Why is he not of a problem of shvi'it? What would be the problem of shvi'it? According to Rashi, the problem of shvi'it is that you shouldn't go purchase perot shvi'it with this, min ha-chashud ha-machram. This is someone who is chashud to sell perot shvi'it, because you don't give any Muslim to make perot shvi'it, la-amaretz. You don't give over money of perot shvi'it to an amaretz, you're telling me, gemos ha-su'udot. So over here, you have someone who's chashud to sell, he's an amaretz, and when they give the money becomes demei shvi'it. So you're giving demei shvi'it to this individual selling shvi'it. So over here, again, it's not his problem, because he gave the workers the money, and they're spending the money the way they want, so it's not his issue. But it sounds like if and we'll see this in the second half of this braita, that if he is considered to be the one who's paying, over here, when he gives the money, the problem of giving the money is that now the recipient of the money is an amaretz and have a problem with the money. So that will be different than ma'aser and yayin nesach. By ma'aser and yayin nesach, we don't worry about the one who is actually receiving the money. We worry about the workers who are consuming the item, or the fact that he's paying this money to get through to get them yayin nesach, or he's feeding them with the yayin nesach, or he's feeding them in a musar. That's the problem over here. Whereas by shvi'it, the problem is the money that goes to the person who sold them. The perot shvi'it themselves are not a problem, according to Rashi. Whereas Tosos disagrees and says, well, I want to make all of these cases parallel, and I don't understand what Rashi says. I think the problem here is that it looks like he's porea chovo be perot shvi'it. Looks like he's paying off a debt that he owes with perot shvi'it. Over here, he's obligated to feed his workers. So it looks like he's giving them enu musar to feed them. He's giving them yayin nesach in order to discharge his obligation. Also over there, he's giving them perot shvi'it to discharge his obligation. It looks like porea chovo be perot shvi'it. And that makes them all parallel. Now the Braita continues, v'im amar lehem etzuv v'ichlu. If he says to them, go out and eat, I mean that he's obligated to feed them, so he goes, go out and eat, v'ani porea, and I'll pay back whoever debts that you incur for this eating, I'll pay. Tzuv v'shtu v'ani porea, go out and drink, and I'll compensate. Choshesh mishum shvit, u'mishum maser, mishum yayin nesach. In this case, he's on the hook, because over here, he is paying only after the fact. So if he's paying after the fact, again, according to Tosafot, it means the problem here is that it looks like he's feeding them yayin nesach, it looks like he's feeding them maser enu musar, and it looks like he's feeding them perot shvi'it, or paying off his chovot with these items. According to Rashi, with the yayin nesach and the maser, it might be that he's feeding them things that are inappropriate, but by the shvi'it is that he's now giving over, he's going to end up giving demei shvi'it to this amaretz. Now, according to Rashi, that's the question of Rabbi Yanai. Over here, you see that we worry about the fact when he says, later on, I'm going to pay the money back. Nevertheless, we consider that demei shvi'it, and we can't give it to the amaretz. So also by Rabbi Yanai, that should be the same problem. Over here, he borrowed up front the perot shvi'it, and then he's going to pay the money back later. That money, when it's paid later, should be considered chalipin or demei shvi'it. Just like over here, they classify it as demei shvi'it, according to Rashi, who thinks the problem is demei shvi'it. On the other hand, Tosfot, who thinks that the problem here is that it looks like he's porea chovo beperot shvi'it, because it looks like he's feeding them the perot shvi'it. And if we believe, like Rabbi Yana is right, that when you pay back the money after the perot are gone from the world, and that after the zman of biur, but after they're consumed, that's not considered as demei shvi'it, and we don't consider that money to be associated with the shvi'it, so to over here, when the po'alim and go to the chen bani, go to the storekeeper and say, give us some food, and he ends up giving them perot shvi'it, that has nothing to do with the balabait over here, because he only pays later on. And if we don't associate the payment with the fruits, then it's not as if he paid them with perot shvi'it. So that's the question of Sheshet and Rabbi Yanai. How could it be that you are mutar? So Alma, ki kapara, when he pays off, demei yisur kapara, the money is associated with it. Achanami, ki kapara, demei yisur kapara. Also by you, Rabbi Yanai, when you're paying it off, it looks like you're doing it with yisur. So Targuma Rav Chista, bechen v'ani amakifo. Then Rabbi Chista says that the difference in the cases has to do with what his relationship is with the chen v'ani. So if it's a case, it's a storekeeper that normally knows him, and he always extends him credit, therefore when the workers go there and they take the money, it's as if he is obligated to pay the money right away, because that's a normal relationship that they have. Since he normally gets credit, as if the chenvani already acquired a dinar in his possessions, that's like chalipin. But in a case where it's not a chenvani, a regular, it's low, and therefore, the monies will not be necessarily associated as chalipin for the items that were given. That'll be okay. And that's the case of Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai took the fruits up front. When he pays them back later, he wasn't normally extending them credit. They didn't have a previous relationship. And therefore, when he pays them back later, it's not considered chalipin. So the Gemara says, Aval chenvani shein kofo. Sounds from this, that if it was a chenvani that didn't normally extend credit, my, what would be the din mutar? So when it says, if that's the case, yochi, why does the braita make a differentiation like this? Adatani tzuv echlu b'dinar zeh, tzuv eshutu b'dinar zeh. Why is the resha case where it's mutar, you say, oh, it's a case where he gave him the money up front. That's a mutar case. Liflog v'nitne b'dida. You have a bigger chiddush. Say it like this. When is it a sur? It's when he has a relationship with a storekeeper that normally gives him credit, extends credit. But it's a storekeeper that normally does not give him credit. Mutar, it would be just fine. And on top of that, since when is it that if a chenvani doesn't normally extend credit, I mean, you don't usually work with him, but when he does extend you credit, then there's no lien against you? Is that really true? Omer lechaveiro, a person says to his friend, ten maneh the ploni, give 100 zuz to so-and-so, v'iknu kol nechsei lach, and then, or t'lechat, all my possessions will then become yours. Kanami din arev, it works because of the din of an arev. Because an arev is a guarantor. When it comes to a transaction between a malve and a love, between a creditor and a debtor, the creditor goes ahead and lends money to the debtor, and then the debtor is chayab because he received the money and then he's obligated. He got the money. The arev, the guarantor here, gets no benefit in this whole situation. He's not getting any money. He's not, the money's not going through him necessarily. And yet, he's still chayab. He is obligated. This guarantor becomes obligated in repayment if the debtor fails to make a payment. So you see, you can be obligate yourself even though no hanah came to you. So same thing in the case that Rava brought down. In the case where a person says, pay money to so-and-so, and then I'll give you all my possessions. So even though the person whose possessions have been given got no consideration, but because the consideration was given to someone, that's enough. Since there was some transaction that took place on his, based on his request, then he is obligated to give the possession. So by the same as the RA, by the guarantor. Since the loan is only being extended because he's guaranteeing, so that's as if he's saying, lend her the money and I'll take care of it, he's obligated to pay back. So too over here, by the case of the Chenvani, when the Chenvani gives money based on the fact that the Baal HaBayit says to him, you know, pay my workers and I'll take care of it later, there's a Shiba there. There's a Shiba that's created, he becomes obligated in it. So if that's the case, then that's also a problem, because you try to make a distinction between a Chenvani who normally extends credit versus one who doesn't extend credit. When he did extend credit normally, he's somech on your repayment, and it's as if he got the dinar right away. Where he doesn't normally extend your credit, he's not somech, and there's no shibu, there's no lien, that's not true. There is a lien, and the lien, just like an arev by the guarantor. So Amar Rava, no, this is the difference. Lo shna makifo, lo shna she'im makifo, doesn't matter about a chenvani. Whether he normally extends him credit, doesn't extend him credit. And afa gav de mishabed le, even though he's mishubah, in both these cases, mishubah, that doesn't matter, it's mutar. Kevin to lo miyached shibudei lo mitzar. No, it has to do with whether he's miyached, he determines what the shibud is. Normally, when the obligation, the lien is extended, here you ask the chenvani to do something and you owe him money. That lien is against you. It's against you and all your possessions, but we don't know which possession or which money is going to be given to discharge that obligation. Therefore, it's not considered a chalipin. Whereas, when it's a directed collateral, or we know that the collateral is there, then we say, in that case, it's a problem. So, Gemara says, "Elohacha, my chosheish mishum shvit." If the whole case here is where you didn't extend, you didn't designate collateral, then why, when he extends to the chenvani, pay them, and then I'll pay you back later, why is there any problem? So Achamar Rav Papa, Rav Papa explains that this is a case, Kagon Shiktim Lo Dinar, he prepaid for it. So when he prepays for it, it's as if he himself is buying it and handing it to his workers. So Amar Rav Kahana, Amrita L'Shmaita Kameh D'Rav Zvid, Minardo, I said over this answer, the way that Rava amends it, and then Rav Papa explains it. I said this in front of Rav Zvi Minardar, Vamali, Yochi Adatani Tzuv Yichlu, Tzuv Ishtu, when it says, go out and drink, go in and eat a mine, Vani Pare, and then I'll pay back later, Tzuv Yichlu, Tzuv Ishtu, Vani Mechashev Mi Baile. If he prepaid the Chen Vani, then what does it mean that I'll pay it back later? I'll pay it back later. He already paid for it. He prepaid for it. The Braita should read, and then I will work it out with the Chenvani, how much I owe him or how much change he owes me. So why does it say Poreya? It should say Mechashev. So he says, Enochanami. That's what you should amend the Braita to read, Tzuvani Mechashev. The case in the Braita is a case where he got physically involved. He actually took the merchandise from the Chenvani and he gave it to the workers. So since he got physically involved, that's the problem. It says, go out and eat on my behalf. Go out and drink and I'll take care of it. It should say, take it from my hand. He's handing it to them. What do you mean, go out and get it? He's right here. He's handing it to them. He says, that's what the Braita should read. So based on those two answers, the final answers are Rav Papa's answer or Rav Ashi's answer, the Braita has a problem either because he prepaid for it. When he prepays for it, clearly the money then is chalipin, because then it's the peirot or the item that's asur that's being given is being given because of the money that he prepaid. That's as if it's doing the shlichut of the Baal HaBayit, as if the Baal HaBayit is giving it to them directly. Or in the case of Rav Ashi, where he physically takes it from the Chenvani and gives it to them, then he's koneh it, and then he gives it to them. So that's the problem in those two instances. Whereas Rabbi Yannai has neither of those. Rabbi Yannai, first of all, didn't prepay, he's paying later. So that's not classified as chalipin. Or in the other case, he's not no seven, no ten bayad. When he took them, the fruits were totally mutar. He could eat them, he could do everything. They only become asur later, after the biur. But the fruits are no longer around when that happens. So no seven, no ten bayad is not relevant to him. And that would be the distinction between the case of the Braita versus the case of Rabbi Yana, and that's why by Rabbi Yana it's mutar, and over here it is not mutar. Tosus says, well, why doesn't the Gemara in these cases ask the question of, if that's the distinction in the Braita, like it did before, let the Braita make that distinction. If this is the point of distinction, say, well, it makes a difference whether he gave the dinar before or afterwards. Or according to Ravashi, whether he was noten or ten v'yad, or not noten or ten v'yad. So Tosfos says, when it comes to the hiktim lo dinar, he didn't want to distinguish like that, because he wanted to make the case, the Braita, all one case, which is where he prepaid. He wanted to make the whole case of the Braita where he prepaid. The question of he prepaid the workers, or he prepaid the chenvani. That's the distinction, and it keeps it all as one case. In the second case, by Rav Ashi, why does he make such a distinction? He says, either way, there'll be a chiddush. And what's the chiddush? The reisha, rebuta kamashma on the reisha, where he gives them the money, goes out and buy it. What's the chiddush there? When he says, tlu v'chlu b'dinar zeh, v'heim natnu dinar the chenvani, where he says, go ahead, take it, eat with this dinar. Avo bish nasan natan b'yad mutar. Even if he gets involved at that point in time and does it with his own hands, there, at that point in time, it's only the shliach of the chenvani. It's not doing his own bidding. He gave them money. The workers are now giving the money to the chenvani. So if he goes and takes fruit from the chenvani and gives it to the workers, that's really the chenvani who's selling them the produce. It's the chenvani's problem, not the balabite's problem, even if he's hands-on in the situation. And the Seifa teaches us a chiddush that we don't say over there that he's doing the shlichut of the chenvani. We don't say, he's giving them from the chenvani, he's doing the shlichut of the chenvani, and the obligation is now to the chenvani. We say, no, he is as if he took full possession of them and then gave him over to them. So since there's a chiddush in both sides over here, the Braita doesn't do lifnog nid nebididah, because it teaches us a chiddush letzad heter and a chiddush letzad isur. The chiddush letzad heter is that once the money is given to the poalim and the balabite's involved, he's a shliach of the chenvani. And the other way around, where the balabite is involved before he gives the money to the chenvani, then he's not the shliach of the chenvani, he's his own shliach, as if he took acquired it and passed it on to them. So those two chiddushim are important, and therefore the Braita didn't say lifnog nid nebididah. Okay, we'll stop over here.